guys, welcome to the Misfits and Mysteries podcast. We are your weekly podcast for everything weird and wacky, from psychology and history to Bigfoot and aliens and everything in between. We are your hosts, Emmy
and Steve.
So Steve, what's up?
Not much. It's a weekend. Just nice.
Weekend.
How about yourself? Do anything fun? We're recording on a Saturday for once. We're usually Sunday recording people, so that's a change of pace.
My roommate has been gone all week, so I've just been like cleaning, getting everything in order. Like, I've been doing a lot of painting.
Nice. So
it's nice. It's nice to have some time.
Yeah, that's really nice.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't done much yet. I watched some sports yesterday and that's about it. But yeah, we'll see.
So Steve and I figured out right before the episode that we actually picked extremely similar topics today. Coincidentally. So,
yeah. That's really funny.
We did a few weeks ago. What was it? Was it both something about aliens?
No, because we planned the alien one out. I have no clue what it was. I had to check our past episodes. But yeah, today we're doing very similar topics, which is kind of surprising because we didn't plan this out. Unless we have a decided upon theme, we sort of just go with it and just...
Oh, this... I'm sorry. I just figured it out.
Well, which was it?
Last week, you did Bigfoot and I did Thunderbird.
Oh, yeah. These aren't planned. We don't plan things. When we did like the Yule ads, that was... Together. Yeah, when we did the Yule lads, we obviously had to plan that out just because we did different lads. So yeah, that wasn't possible if we just chose which ones we liked. That's the most organized we've been was December.
So what are you talking about today?
So I'm talking about cocaine hippos. And what are you talking about?
I'm talking about LSD dolphins.
Yeah, I mean... What a coincidence. I wish we were recording what we told each other we were doing, because that was really funny.
I know. I was like, are you kidding me?
I know.
Same wavelength.
I know. And I also have a little story from 1896 about a UFO sighting, which happened about 50 years before Roswell.
Do you want to kick off with that?
Yeah. And we also have episode 11 of Kid Nation. Well, actually, I guess before we kick off, just a few announcements, because I think we start doing this at the beginning. As well, this week we're going to be on the Four Nerds by Nerds podcast, so go check that out. We had a lot of fun on that show. Make sure to go to our website, misfitsandmysteries.com, to sign up for our newsletter, and you can also buy our merch. There's a link on our website. You can also go to our TeePublic store. If you like our show, make sure to rate and review and give us a good rating. It helps us a lot with the iTunes charts.
Yes, it does.
So we're going to take an ad break and then we'll get into my story.
Do, 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 do.
All right, and we're back. So I was originally going to do some Old West mythology stuff, but we've had a really busy week with some cool stuff that's in the works for the future, which hopefully you'll get to find out about in a little bit. But we were really swamped, so I didn't really start researching until like last night. And I was going to originally do Old West mythology, because I thought that would be interesting. But the problem is, do you know about the concept of the myth of the frontier?
No.
It's the idea that towards the end of the 1800s and 1900s, this myth that there's still a frontier in America. And it also sort of goes like, I learned this in like history class in college. So, I mean, I'm surprised that these articles are everywhere, because I don't think it's like something that the general public necessarily knows. But basically, it's this idea that there's this myth that the frontier is over and we need to go expand further, like to the east, like Asia and stuff. And just that's where the next frontier is. So basically the whole myth of the frontier was really dominating a lot of the searches. And I was a little bit of a time crunch, so I kind of abandoned that. However, I did come across two stories that both occurred in 1896 about aliens. One is a failed abduction and the other about an alien corpse in a town in Texas.
All right.
So in 1896, two men from Lodi, California reported an attempted abduction by three aliens. It was Colonel H.G. Shaw and his buddy Camille. I don't really know how to say that. I thought it looks like Camilla, but that's a female name, to best of my knowledge. And this column's Camilla Spooner. So the two of them were traveling from Lodi to the Fresno Citrus Fair, where I guess they were showing something, a stall or an exhibit or something. And on their way there, the men were shocked when they saw three tall alien beings that had small, delicate hands.
Just in broad daylight,
in the middle of the day.
All right, that's a twist. Yeah. That's a real twist.
That is a twist. Yeah, this is daylight, right? Like, they have a good view of these things. I don't really know what Lodi, California is like. So I have some questions, which I'll get into in a little bit, but I think my perception of what the Old West was like might be super skewed by, like, Clint Eastwood movies, but yeah. We'll get to that in a sec. So basically, it was the middle of the day on their way to the Fresno Citrus Fair. They came across these three alien beings, middle of the day. They were reportedly 7 feet tall and very skinny. So they had small, delicate hands, which were at the ends of their spindly arms. These guys were just standing by the side of the road, these aliens. And they had no hair on their head, but had light fuzz all over their bodies, large eyes that made their small mouths and small ears appear even smaller. And they were carrying a bag of some sort with them with a hose that they periodically put in their mouths, which they assume they used to breathe. And they also carried these egg-shaped lamps that were glowing and eventually illuminated their ship when they escaped. So according to Shaw, the aliens, who were a lot smaller than the men, like weight-wise, are trying to abduct them, but they were just too heavy for them to like steal. So these really skinny tall aliens, which he didn't give a weight for them, but I'm imagining like the weight differential of a grown man is probably, let's say they weigh like 175 pounds. If these guys can't possibly lift them, there's three of them, they can't weigh more than 75 pounds a pop, so
they gotta be real skinny.
Yeah, so these skinny guys were trying to steal Shaw and Spooner, but they couldn't pick them up because they were too heavy. And eventually they gave up and used their egg thing and went back to their ship and flew away.
They probably were just like laying there like a limp noodle and just like
I don't, just couldn't do it. They're like, fuck it, I'm done, I can't,
not even fighting back, just like,
yeah, they're just like,
what do you
I know. And then they eventually left. So according to Shaw's description, right, their attempts were foiled because they were too heavy. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just such a funny idea. Perhaps this is why aliens created abduction technology, like tractor beams and stuff, because they're like, well, we tried in 1896 and, you know, we're just too goddamn weak to carry these people. Yeah, I know. So my question, though, is, didn't people have guns in the Old West?
Yeah.
Why didn't they shoot them?
Maybe they didn't have guns. I don't know.
Maybe my opinion is skewed, but I feel like everyone had guns in like the 1800s because it wasn't safe to exist.
Certainly not if the aliens are just trying to drag you back to their ship.
So their ship was described as a cigar ship, which is like a type of alien spaceship, I learned. But I didn't really do too much research about it, but it's like a type.
That's interesting because some of the more recent alien stories that I looked into for a few other episodes were described as cigar-shaped.
So that's the interesting thing is, to the best of my knowledge and the limited research I did, because I only looked at like these two stories, it seems like in the 1800s, we are seeing these cigar-shaped ships. And it's likely that these are different alien beings if they're coming and they look different and act different. Like, I imagine these ones that can't even lift up a fully grown man with three of them, I imagine they're not doing experiments because I don't see them being able to like lift us up and get us onto like a table.
Unless it's like a baby.
A baby, exactly. Shaw's account in the Evening Mail. I tried to read this on my own, but I didn't want to pay money to read a single article. So I'm just going off what Mental Floss said. So hopefully their reporting's accurate. I'm just going to put that out there. Look, I'm not paying like $100 or whatever it is for a year subscription to read a single article one time. That's just not happening. So the Evening Mail is a Stockton newspaper. And according to Mendel Floss, quoted to have said, I have a theory, which of course is only a theory, that those we beheld were inhabitants of Mars, who have been sent to Earth for the purpose of securing one of its inhabitants. So he thought that these were Martians.
Okay.
And what's interesting is I don't really know what was going on back in 1816 in terms of like science fiction and where we were with aliens and Martians. But it seems kind of interesting to me that their first thought is it's a spaceship. But I also have no idea when the idea of spaceships became like popular and widespread.
Like UFOs weren't really a thing.
Yeah. That's what's so weird. They called it a spaceship in 1896. I'm actually going to Google this. I'm really curious. 1894.
Interesting. So it's probably one of the first ones.
Yeah, it must have been. Well, it's from A Journey into Outer Worlds, which is a story that takes place in the year 2000. But actually, however, spaceship also appears in an 1880 Pall Mall Gazette in reference to Jules Verne, 23-year-old, before the first airplane took off. Interesting. Cool. Okay. So I guess it was in the common vernacular then. So these people were probably pretty well read. Later that year, a Texas resident reported a cigar-shaped airship similar to the one that Colonel Shaw described flying over the state. And then outside of Aurora, Texas, one of these things crash landed, and allegedly, like, people who were there claim this happened. They found the alien and they were decided to be good neighbors and give it a proper burial. And now Aurora is like a destination for people who are trying to see aliens. And the government refuses to let them exhume the body because the local government thinks that it's actually just like a guy who died in like a hot air balloon crash. And they don't want to like disrespect the dead. But there I know.
You got to figure that out though.
I know. Well, I think part of the problem is no one knows which grave it is. And it's kind of hard to like just be digging up random people's graves. It's a little disrespectful. Yeah.
That's great.
But I just think it's really fascinating that in 1896, we have two cigar UFO incidents.
That is very strange, actually. Before UFOs were really like a thing that people
talk about. 50 years before Roswell. That's all I have on that, but I figured I would share.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. So do you want to get into your LSD dolphins?
I will.
Awesome.
Oh, yes. It's Ladies Fright. We tell spooky stories and try to figure out what about them makes them so scary.
Using personal anecdotes, psychology, and sociology, Lauren, Maggie, and Jackie dive into urban legends, ghost stories, and other tales that give us a good fright.
Because this is Ladies Fright.
Oh, what a fright.
Find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the LSD dolphins. So it kind of all starts with this guy, Gregory Bateson.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 1960. Okay. So definitely like in the era of free love, a lot of drugs, counterculture kind of thing. So this guy, Gregory, he's this big intellectual guy and he's the director of this dolphin lab. And they live in St. Thomas in the Caribbean.
Is that the American Virgin Islands or British?
No idea.
One of the two. I don't remember.
No idea. So he has these three dolphins, Peter, Pamela, and Sissy.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in this lab where the bottom floor of the lab is kind of like a research facility where the three dolphins live. And then the upstairs is where they conduct all of the research and they have their desks up there and they compile all of their findings. So three dolphins, Peter, Pamela, and Sissy. So Sissy is the biggest. She's kind of like pushy and loud and kind of like runs the show.
Yeah.
Pamela is very shy and kind of timid. And then Peter is this younger dolphin who's kind of sexually coming to age.
Ooh.
How they described it.
Nice. So is this a coming of age story?
A little bit. So you got Gregory Bateson, and then you have Dr. John Lilly, who is an American neuroscientist. And what they're trying to do is learn more about communication between animals and animals, as mm-hmm. well as animals and humans. Dolphins can make like human-like sounds through their blowholes. So they were wondering if they might be able to speak English. But at the time, you know, you and I know like dolphins are really fucking smart.
I love dolphins. You know what's actually really cool? Have you watched Planet Earth 2 at all?
Yeah, I have.
Or sorry, Blue Ocean 2, I mean, Sea of Life.
I don't know.
Oh, that's the sea version. I actually have. I got this. My dad got this from someone and gave it to me. It's my God. Look at this cool koozie from the Savannah Bananas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I didn't mean to knock that over. I have all these. I don't have a DVD player, though, which is a real right shame, but I have all these DVDs from Blue Planet Sea of Life.
Oh,
wow. I love Blue Planet more than anything. But yeah. So in Blue Planet 2, which my biggest regret right now is that I didn't finish watching it before they took it off of Netflix, and I don't want to pay for Discovery Plus to watch it. But they had this thing where there are these types of porpoises called false killer whales, and I forget where it is in the ocean, but they can communicate with this other species of porpoise and work together to hunt. And in like groups of like 100 or like 200 or like hundreds, it's wild.
Damn.
They're really cool. I think that hippos. I think that if dolphins could go on land, I think they'd take over shit.
Yeah. They're incredibly smart.
Yeah.
But at the time in the 60s, they thought that they were just like not smart at all. Like they were known as herring dogs and they were just kind of like menaces. The same way that I kind of feel about like sea lions.
You don't like sea lions?
They're really cool, but like they're really loud and kind of gross. And
they're
like,
also like kind of mean. You don't want to get near them.
Yeah. So this is when they started discovering like animals with bigger brains were smarter.
Yeah.
And they were looking at like the brains of dolphins and were like, maybe they're actually smarter than we thought. So they have this lab, right? Mm-hmm. And they start doing like mimicking voices and stuff. So like the researchers will give them a sound and then the dolphins will mimic the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. John Lilly thought that this was so impressive that they could mimic the sounds that he's like, this is going to change everything.
Yeah.
In 1961, he publishes this book called Man and Dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of like takes his research and like tells you about it in the first half of the book. And then in the second half of the book, he blows it out to what he thinks this means for society.
Yeah.
And he thinks that we will be able to communicate with dolphins through English. And then eventually dolphins will get so advanced that they will have a chair at the United Nations. we can like coexist and like they're going to be part of international conversations about like policy and like
that'd be awesome. I don't know if it's gonna happen, but
it's just so funny the way he says it, like a chair at the United Nations. Like, are they just gonna have like a little glass case or like a dolphin in it? Like,
you could zoom in.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but
I don't know, but that's pretty funny.
Right? I thought you would like that part. So after this book, a lot of people are getting really excited about his experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And it attracted the attention of Frank Drake, who was one of the first guys to start using radio telescopes to detect extraterrestrial life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's thinking, like, if we can communicate with dolphins, then that gives us an in on how we're going to communicate with aliens.
Assuming aliens talk anything like dolphins.
Yeah, assuming they like have a mouth or like...
Assuming that they have a language that is at all comparable to ours.
Yeah, or they're like didn't really make sense. And that's kind of like not a part of the story, but just like an interesting aside.
Yeah.
So this is where it gets real interesting.
All right.
So a few years later, 1964, there's this woman named Margaret Lovat, and she had no real scientific training, but she lived in St. Thomas and grew up loving the idea of talking animals, and she was like kind of obsessed with it.
Yeah.
So her brother mentioned that there was this place where they were training dolphins that happened to be in St. Thomas, where they were teaching them how to speak English. So she marched down to the laboratory and is like, can I please get a job here? And she like very quickly picks up how to be with the animals, and they're like, you can come hang out as many times as you want. So she is going there almost every day. And teaching them English. So, you know, they do their research every day, and then at night they drive home. But Margaret is like literally so obsessed with this that she's like, I think if we really want them to learn English, the best way to do it is like a mother child situation where like we live with them. Like every day they're just like immersed in it.
So it's like, it's like Duolingo, whatever it's called.
Yeah. And she's like, I just can't imagine like the dolphins with their big brains just like floating around at night and like not learning. Just wait. So she decides that she is going to take the upper floor of the laboratory, waterproofs the whole thing and fills it with water. And she has a floating bed and a floating desk, and she is going to live with the dolphins. But she decides that she is going to do one-on-one training with one of the dolphins, Peter. So they bring Peter upstairs with her 6 days of the week. And then for the seventh day, he'll go back downstairs and hang out with the other
dolphins. I have a question. How disgustingly pruny is her skin if she's in the water all the time?
And what I'm wondering is, like, how does she eat? Where does she go to the bathroom? Like,
that's a really good point. I mean, I hope that she's smart enough not to just like poop or pee in the pool.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's like a portion where she can like walk out, but like weird.
This is strange. Yeah.
This is strange. But she decides it. Remember, this is someone with no scientific training, just saying for 3 months, I'm going to live 24 hours a day with a dolphin and no humans. So
that's a recipe for disaster.
And again, like, this is the era of like free love. Like, people are like experimenting with different things. So Dr. Lilly is like, okay, let's go for it. Like, let's do it. So this is in 1965. The lab is up and running. She's living in there full time. And twice a day, she does English, like very intense English lessons with Peter.
Yeah. Does he ever respond in English?
No. So I'll get there though.
Okay.
So after a while, she starts realizing that like he's not learning English, but she's learning a lot about like his habits, and like still can tell how smart he is just by the fact that like he's very interested in her and like her anatomy. And like she said that in a weird way, like the dolphin was looking at her legs and being like, okay, like how does walking work, and like just trying to figure that out.
I mean, yeah, if I were a dolphin, I'd be like, what the fuck is up with this lady?
Yeah. That's a weird looking dolphin.
I know, right?
So she's still teaching him English twice a day, and it's not as productive as she would like, but she's learning a lot. But after a while, she said that the lessons start being less and less productive because basically Peter is getting very sexually frustrated.
Oh.
So she starts, like, every time that happens, he's, like, you know, like, rubbing up against her leg or, like, whatever. She'll bring him downstairs with the other dolphins. But eventually, like, that's happening so often that it just becomes really disruptive. So she starts relieving his urges.
Oh.
Manually.
Well, it's like, do you see the Blackfin? The movie about the Tillicum? A poor guy's job was to jack off Tillicum.
Yeah.
I don't know what a dolphin's penis looks like, but that thing was scary on the killer whale. That thing was like was like 6 feet long. It was disgusting.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's a killer whale though. Those things are huge.
Yeah, but that's as tall as a man. Like, how do you jack it off then?
I mean, I don't know, man. It was gross. That was someone's job.
I don't need to know the details.
I don't really remember, but like, imagine if that's your job. It's like, what do you do at SeaWorld? Oh, I'm the masturbation specialist.
Yeah, but it's different when like you live with the dolphin.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I wouldn't jack off my dog. I live with my dog.
I'm not saying
okay. It's like
a normal thing to do, but like it's almost even weirder because they have such an emotional bond.
Yeah.
And like 24 hours a day, like they're just hanging out. Mm-hmm. And then she's also like jacking him off. But she says it was not at all sexual for her. She described it as like an itch that she was scratching and then they would move on.
That's gross.
It was not like a private thing. Like people would come in and observe.
Why'd you want to watch that?
I don't know. Well,
that's a weird fetish. Like
scientific. And she says that it was not sexual, but it did enhance their bond because they wouldn't have to keep breaking for her, because it's a very strenuous process, I'm sure, to like bring a dolphin downstairs. I don't know.
I imagine that's really hard to do. Yes.
Yeah. So like the fact that she wasn't having to do that every day and they could just like do this quickly and move on, I guess, helped. So that's what's happening upstairs. Downstairs with the other two dolphins, Dr. Lily is just injecting these dolphins with LSD.
Why? Why? So that's
upstairs,
mean.
Upstairs, there's dolphin sex. Downstairs, there's LSD.
This sounds like a dolphin torture chamber.
But it's, I don't, at least upstairs, I guess they're having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, that's mean. Like, animals' brains get, like, people's brains get fried on LSD, but, like, animals can get really fucked up on LSD.
Yeah. So, I think they were trying to figure out, because at the time, there was a lot of questions around LSD and like what it was doing to people's brains and like also what it could tell us about the world, because people have these crazy revelations on LSD. So they were like, if we can get dolphins to talk about what they're seeing on LSD, like that tells us so much about not only human consciousness, but everything.
I mean, that's all like MK Ultra stuff, right? With the LSD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dr. Lily does have a permit to administer and study LSD for whatever that's worth.
Okay.
So Margaret is like, please don't give it to Peter, because like that's going to disrupt what we're doing up here.
Mm-hmm.
And so he agreed to that. So just the dolphins downstairs are getting the LSD. And it's like not really teaching them a lot, but they do say that they're a lot more vocal, not necessarily like speaking English words.
Yeah, just
of course, but like they're a lot more vocal and like energetic, I guess.
Interesting.
They're on drugs.
Yeah, they're high.
But unfortunately, by the time 1966 rolls around, they're not getting a lot of funding because the dolphins aren't speaking English.
I mean, would you want your name with funding attached to the operation where they get dolphins downstairs high and jack off a dolphin in the attic?
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't want my name associated with that.
And I should say an aside. So Margaret was getting her, like, at the same time. So there's not a lot of funding. And then what kind of killed them was the tabloids get a hold of this. And there's literally like cartoon pictures of Margaret, like fucking dolphins. And she's like, literally, that's not what's happening. And like, I do kind of feel bad for her because her name was like so in the public eye about this stuff. And like, that's really not what was happening. But it really like killed the whole study because.
Oh my God. I mean, yeah, that.
Because it's like in, it was like in Hustler magazine, like sex with dolphins. And like, so.
Jesus.
That killed the study. And at this point, they have to bring the dolphins somewhere else to live in captivity because they obviously can't really.
Well, two of them are addicted to drugs and one's addicted to being jacked off. So, I mean, like, they can't, they can't rejoin society.
Exactly. So they get transported to Miami. And I'm sorry, this is where the story gets kind of sad, but like I have to finish it out.
Yeah.
So they get transported to Miami and they live in smaller tanks with not a lot of sunlight. And they can tell that they're not really that happy.
Mm-hmm.
And a few weeks after the dolphins are there, Margaret gets a call from Dr. Lily that Peter has committed suicide.
Yeah, that's so sad the dolphins can do that. They just will stay under and not come up so they kill themselves.
Because I guess for dolphins, breathing is like a conscious act. Like, it's not like us where you just like...
Well, they need oxygen also.
Yeah. So he just didn't breathe and just sunk to the bottom.
Which it's really sad when dolphins do that.
And presumably because like he didn't see Margaret and he didn't understand why.
That's so sad. He lost his friend.
He was probably in love.
Oh, poor guy.
But Margaret says that she wasn't super unhappy about it because he was in these terrible conditions and like there was no way that they could be together.
It sounds like she fucked this dolphin. Right? Yeah, she fucked this dolphin.
But like there was no way that they could be together, so there was no way that he was ever going to be happy.
Okay, I'll be honest with you. It's kind of hard to believe they didn't have sex. She seemed really into this dolphin.
I mean, like, can they?
I don't want to, like, think about it, but... I don't
think about it either.
I bet they probably could.
But I bet in some ways, like, they were in love.
Yeah, they're in love, which is kind of weird.
That is... Oh, and then just to kind of close out the story.
Yeah.
So, Margaret goes on to convert the lab that she was living in into a house.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes on to marry the guy who is actually like the photographer of the experiment. And they live in there, they have kids, and that's that. And
their walls are decorated with just pictures of Peter's penis.
Yeah.
I actually, when I lived in Buffalo, the apartment I had a painting that was already in it that was painted by a dolphin.
Really?
It actually wasn't bad. I wish I had a photo of it, but I didn't think to take a photo of it.
Maybe it was on LSD.
It was like better than a fort and like a preschooler could make, but it wasn't like fine art. I think it was just playing elephants
with. Can do that too.
Elephants, yeah, I love elephants. They're so cool.
Yeah, elephants are really cool.
But they like are so dangerous too. They could kill you. Another smart animal that like forms bonds with people.
Yeah, and I feel like they're kind of mistreated a lot.
Yeah.
At the circus and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a circus guy. Are circuses still around?
Probably not in COVID.
Well, yeah, but like, were they before? Besides like the terrible, like shitty Cirque du Soleil's where they just like jump and shit, which I hate.
I don't know. I mean, I remember as a kid going to the circus and loving it, but like, I obviously didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I...
The aliens?
Aliens?
Freudian slip.
Yeah.
The elephants.
Yeah, I never went to a... I've only been to Cirque du Soleil once, and that was terrible. It was just like French people prancing about pretending to be frogs.
Well, at the circus, they would have the elephants do all these like tricks and stuff, and then at kind of like the halftime show, whatever, you could pay to get a ride on the elephants.
And did you get a ride on the elephant? Did. Do you have photos?
Probably somewhere.
Ooh, that's awesome.
It was cool, but like you literally just like went around in one little circle and like there was just like elephant shit everywhere.
Oh yeah, I imagine. Cool. Have you ever been to the Bronx Zoo?
No.
We gotta go sometime. We should go one.
About it.
What you did?
What
you said? You say you have a dream about it?
No, I said I've heard good things about.
Oh yeah, I was like, that's so strange. I dream about a place you've never been. It's awesome. We should go. Let's go when COVID's better.
Yeah.
And it's like
I went to the Central Park Zoo a few months ago, and I was super impressed.
The Bronx Zoo blows that out of the park.
Really?
It's one of the best zoos, at least in New York.
All right.
We'll have to go. Yeah, we'll have to go when it's warm. The one thing that sucks is like it costs a good amount of money to go. Like you can go on a free day, but it's like then you're taking money away from animals, so it's like fuck. If we do this and we make content out of it, we can expense it on our taxes, so let's do that.
We could go on a free day and like buy some hot dogs or something.
We could. I just want to go when it's not cold though. It's gonna be frigid right now. Also, some of the animals aren't out, but my cousin and I went last year, like September, I want to say, and it was fun. The problem was that I paid like tickets were like $30. They wanted me to pay even more money to go to the monkey house. And they also wanted me to pay even more money to Africa or like the safari to see the elephants.
Africa.
Well, sorry. No, Africa is free.
I know.
To go on the safari, but we should go. It's really fun.
Yeah, I'm down.
To stick with our animal theme, we're going to talk about cocaine hippos. Animals and drugs are a big theme this episode. Big
theme.
So, fortunately for the people of Colombia, unlike Emmy's story, these hippos were not on cocaine. They were just owned by cocaine kingpin Pablo Escobar.
Ooh,
so, that do you is know that,
very different.
Yeah, it's very different. But they are a menace to society. The Colombian National Police killed Pablo Escobar in 1993, and they seized all of his land, including his private zoo. And they sent all the animals in the private zoo to either animal sanctuaries, actual zoos. But for some reason, they're like, hey, there are four hippos. Let's just let them like run hog wild.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, there are four hippos. Today, there are 80 hippos in Colombia. From 1993 to today, 80 hippos. That is 20 times as many hippos.
So they were not native to the area.
Hippos only live in Africa, or at least African hippos only live in Africa.
Yeah.
And I have some hippo facts that we're going to go into after, just to really hammer home how fucking dangerous these animals are. So the hippos are wreaking havoc on the local ecosystem because they poop constantly. They weigh like 3 tons plus, right? So they're eating all the time. So they're constantly shitting in the water, which is just not good because it's changing the chemistry of the water and it's fertilizing these cyanobacteria, which create algae blooms, which then will toxify everything and kill everything in the water. Mm-hmm. And also, hippos kill more humans than any land mammal on the planet. They kill 500 humans a year in Africa.
That is wild to me.
They are killing machines.
And I'm looking at pictures of them right now. I didn't realize they had such sharp teeth.
And they're really aggressive. Fun fact about hippos is they're so dense that they run in the water. They don't swim. They're so dense that their feet hit the bottom. They're sprinting in the water. And they can run like, I didn't bother doing the conversion, but they can run 30 kilometers per hour. That's 20 some odd miles per hour.
And they have a reputation for just being like fat and lazy.
But they're hyper aggressive. We're going to get into all the facts about what other animals they can kill on their own in a bit. Okay.
So I just have one question.
Yeah.
Do they like eating humans or is it just like...
No, they're just hyper aggressive and kill. They're vegetarian. They just will kill you.
Okay.
They're just hyper aggressive. And the problem is if we keep letting these animals reproduce, the waters of Colombia are going to get incredibly dangerous because all of a sudden we have to worry about hippos killing people along with all the other things that could kill you. And since 1993, the range is now 100 miles away from Escobar's estate. So they're spreading. And the article said that they have no natural predators, but honestly, I don't think that they have a predator, period.
Yeah, I mean, what would maybe crocodiles?
No, they can just to jump ahead. The crocodiles don't mess with them because they can bite a crocodile in half in one bite.
Okay.
So yeah, I have more stats on why they're dangerous. But so basically, due to public health concerns and safety, like Colombian officials launched a plan to kill the hippos off in 2009, but these fucking idiots were like, no, you can't kill the hippos, man. It's like they're an invasive species that are going to start killing you as soon as they can.
Yeah.
So they tried to capture them, but they're really fast and aggressive. So it's just really dangerous to do that. And according to a recent study, they think it's a major mistake not to kill them because by 2040, the hippo population will reach around 1,500 animals, which will have irreversible damage in the local ecosystem and will also make them an out-of-control health to public risk to public safety.
Wow.
So there's a shitty situation going down there. And look, I mean, honestly, I think you got to get rid of them because they're an invasive species. They can do a lot of harm to the ecosystem and humans. I don't care if you like hippos. Like, it's just a terrible idea.
Well, it would have been a lot easier to get rid of 4 hippos as opposed to 80 hippos.
I know, exactly. So they also tried to do a sterilization program, but like it was just too dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
They only managed to capture 4 of them out of 80.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. So the other thing too is I know that people like look, I don't care. I love animals, but there's sometimes where you have to just kill them because it's better for everything. Like, for example, cats in Australia, although while all people's like stray cats, there actually are bounties for if you kill cats and bring them in because the cats have been detrimental to the biodiversity. Cats kill like 3 billion birds a year. Something like crazy like that. They just are detrimental running wild. Just
house cats or just like
house cats. Just people with stray house cats.
Oh.
Because every time anything gets introduced to Australia, it fucks shit up. Like the cane toads, the camels. Camels are dominating Australia now. The only real predators that the house cats have there are the dingoes, which just like body them every time, and probably crocodiles. But like, it's just not a good situation. Whenever you have it, even if it's an animal you love, if it's in a foreign country and doesn't belong there, you got to get rid of it. It's going to cause a lot of issues. Yeah. I'm not saying people's pet cats need to die. I'm just saying any stray cats, you can't have them outside. Okay. So do you want to get into some hippo facts?
Let's do it.
In Africa, hippos kill about 500, sorry, hippos kill at least 500 people a year. They are between 10.8 and 16.5 feet long and can grow up to 5'2" at the shoulder.
What?
Yeah. And females weigh around 3,000 pounds and males weigh between 3,500 and 9,920 pounds.
They weigh 10,000 pounds?
Yeah, they can get up to 10,000 pounds.
What the fuck?
And these things can run 30 kilometers per hour, which is like 28 point something. Yeah. And these are hyper aggressive.
I just have no concept of like how heavy that is.
It's preposterous. All right. In 2014, a hippo unsuspectingly attacked a small boat in Nigeria full of children and a teacher, and it killed 12 children and one teacher. One hippo did that. Hippos can also kill a lion one-on-one, and if a lion is trying to eat a hippo, it needs the entire pride to attack at once, and there's still not a guarantee they take down the hippo.
Mm-hmm.
The only things that can kill a hippo or rhinoceros, like that have a better matchup against a hippo, are rhinoceroses and elephants.
Yeah.
And that's solely because a rhino has a big horn and an elephant just outbodies it by so much.
Yeah.
And finally, crocs don't even fuck with hippos because a hippo can break it in half and flatten it if it wanted to. So crocs will sometimes attack a baby, but there's always a mama hippo around, so they just don't fuck with hippos.
Snap you in half like a fucking carrot or something?
Yeah. Yeah, they can just snap a gator in half, which means that our flabby little bodies stand no chance. They can break through armor.
No chance.
But yeah, so hippos are truly little hell horses who live in the water. They're scary creatures.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I know, right? They look so friendly.
But baby hippos are really cute.
Oh, they are so cute. And pygmy hippos are really cute too.
Maybe we should get a pet hippo.
Yes. Google pygmy hippos if you haven't. They're just like smaller. They're like the size of pigs.
So I will say.
Yeah.
I was just looking up like things that are heavy.
Yeah.
Yes. I have some kind of scale. A blue whale. Guess how heavy their tongue is.
Just their tongue?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Like, I don't know, like 6,000 pounds?
That's like right on the nose.
Really? What is it?
5,500 pounds.
I was about to say like 10,000 pounds. I'm like, there's no way just their tongue is 10,000 pounds. That'd be insane.
Can you imagine?
If those could walk.
What?
See how heavy an elephant is. Hold on.
Like, people are so interested in like fucking like Bigfoot and aliens and stuff, but like the stuff we know about is really crazy too.
Do you know that? Holy shit. So a male hippo can weigh more than an adult female elephant.
That's crazy.
Because a female elephant weighs about 6,600 pounds. And a male elephant only weighs about 1,300 pounds.
If you look up the picture of the anatomy of a blue whale, their brain compared to their fucking tongue is crazy.
Really? Let me see.
Their brain is like the size of our brains. And then their tongue is like.
No, what? This one doesn't show their brain. This looks like some shit that I would draw. Why the hell are they showing that? Yeah, that's crazy. Wow. This is pretty wild. Everyone should go Google this if you're not. Whales explode on beaches.
Which is disgusting.
Yeah. That is nasty. Nasty, canasty. Hold up. I'm looking up heaviest animals. Give me a sec. Elephant seals are fucking disgusting. Dude, elephant seals weigh like 8,800 pounds. They can weigh up to a male.
When I was leading trips in California, we had to like really worry about elephant seals eating our food and like coming up and hurting us.
How far inland do they travel?
Well, we were sleeping on the beach.
Oh,
like sometimes we would be hiking on the beach and someone would like almost step on what they thought was a rock and it was a seal.
That's scary.
It was so terrifying. And at night, they were so loud.
Those things are insane. You know what's also insane? Fucking Komodo dragons are wild.
They are wild.
They can sprint 12 miles an hour and they weigh like 200 pounds. They're insane.
I didn't realize they were that big.
Have you seen them before?
Yeah, I used to be really into them when I was a kid, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your favorite animal that's not, like, an animal you can own as a pet?
Well, my favorite animals are snakes.
Really? You're a snake person. Interesting.
Wow.
What's your favorite kind of snake?
Well, I mean, like, the bigger the better, honestly.
Like anacondas?
Yeah, any of those big snakes. But I think if I was going to own a snake, I would get something smaller, like a milk snake or something.
Uh-huh. Snakes escape all the time, though.
I actually used to have a pet snake, and it escaped, and we never found it.
Yikes. I used to catch garter snakes, but they'd always escape.
That's what I had, too, but it got loose in our house, and we just never found it again.
Oh, African elephants are different than brush elephants. Hold up. Oh, they still weigh about... No, African brush elephants are the same thing. Never mind. I don't know. I kind of like bears, but I would never want to get near a bear.
That's your favorite animal?
I don't know. I don't really know what my favorite animal is, being honest.
My favorite animal and my spirit animal is an octopus.
An octopus? Do you know that fun fact I learned? Cool. Part of the reason that octopuses don't live very long lives is after they reproduce, they die.
Yeah.
But when there have been some studies, I just watched a video about this. There have been some studies that they've done where they remove like something from the octopus's brain. It won't reach sexual maturity, but it can live up to like age 60.
Really?
Yeah.
We also can reproduce asexually.
I know. Do you know what's crazy also that I feel like we should bring up? Did you see that article about how scientists have removed memories from a snail? Like, why the fuck are we doing this? Why do we need to do that?
They have. I didn't even know they had memories.
I didn't either. But why are we learning how to remove people's memories? That seems like a terrible idea.
True. Why would you? What are they preparing for?
I don't know.
Have you watched My Octopus Teacher?
No, it's that.
Oh my God. It's a super popular documentary.
And I just found it. Yeah. I haven't seen this.
Oh my God. You have to watch it. I don't even want to say anything.
Don't spoil it then. I'll check it out. Yeah, that looks
interesting. All right. Can we get into Condition?
Yeah. Actually, I want to do one thing first. Sorry to, we're all over the place, but CES, which is Consumer Electronics something, was like last week, I think. And there weren't a lot of good things to make fun of because they usually have a bunch of shitty technology, but I just bring two things to people's attention that were presented as actual good, quote, good ideas for technology of the future. One was Bluetooth speakers for your glasses. How obnoxious is that? Like, what kind of asshole is like, I need people to hear music when I'm walking around constantly?
That's just kind of one of those things that like nobody needs, but they just are doing it because they can. Because
they're an asshole. Like, literally, all you're trying to do is be like, hey, I want everyone around me to hear what music I'm playing.
That's weird.
Another thing is someone made a Bluetooth mask, which is the exact same concept of like, what the hell?
And also, like, what's in that? Like, A, how do you breathe through it? And B, is it like blocking anything?
I have no idea. So then I did go back a little bit to the past, and there's two more ones I want to go over. The first is the Griffin Smart Toaster. In what world do you need a toaster that you can control from your phone?
They just need to make everything smart.
I know. There's also a pair of smart boxer briefs, which I didn't really read into that, but like, why? Why would you want to put electronics near your genitalia? If it malfunctions, that could be really bad. How do you wash smart underwear?
These are the questions of our time.
Also, some Japanese company made vacuum shoes that you wear on your feet.
Now that's actually sweet.
I think that's kind of a cool idea. Except that it's vacuum shoes, so the storage capacity is like this. So like they're about to be emptying them and they look like trash. Like they're the ugliest shoes I've ever seen.
But that would take the hassle out of vacuuming. Like you could just kind of like walk around.
Except now when you're trying to like vacuum under things, you have to use your foot instead of like a vacuum.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't make sense for everything.
Yeah. No, I don't think it would make sense for everything. So now we're on to Kid Nation, episode 11. Just two more to go, folks.
Just two more to go.
Yeah. And then we have to figure out what the hell we're going to talk about. Okay. So Taylor was on fire this episode. They've been holding her back. Right off the bat, Taylor said, I think all the ugly animals should die and all the pretty ones should stay. Ugly people can put on makeup and look pretty. Chickens can't do that.
Taylor is just like, I actually started to admire Taylor in this episode, but we'll talk about it. They're just starting to like feel really attached to the chickens and stuff, but then
only the ones that are pretty. The ugly ones can all die.
Yeah, ugly ones, no. But then Sophia has this idea, which I think she came up with just to like stir shit up.
I wrote down high key, Sophia's just killing chickens tonight to fuck with Taylor.
Seriously.
That's what I wrote.
Her brilliant idea, she goes to the town council and was like, hey, you guys should kill like a lot of chickens tonight.
I know. When Craig goes, how about five? She goes, no, 10.
No, I mean like a lot. Yeah. And like, I really think that she did this just to stir the pot because she doesn't like Taylor and mm-hmm. she doesn't like the new town council. So she's like, I just want to watch the world burn. I just want to like
there's eight days left or whatever.
Yeah. She's like, well, I already got the gold star. Like,
yeah, I can do whatever the hell I want.
Come at me.
Yeah. So, and then basically there's a whole big screaming match. And then finally, so is it Sophia that intervenes and says you can let Taylor choose what chickens to die? And then Taylor says ugly chickens deserve to die.
Yeah. And they're like literally like Greg is like himself holding off like five girls at once.
Yeah.
And he just like just him like holding them all back from these chickens. And he's like, no, I'm just going to take them. And Taylor's like I don't want them to kill those chickens. Like, no one can tell me what to do. No one can tell me to shut up. And it's like, bitch, you realize that when you were on town council, that's exactly what you were doing?
Yeah, I know. Seriously. She's the worst. But I just love how she said ugly chickens deserve to die. That's a direct quote. Yeah.
God.
All right. So then Greg also had to kill all those chickens on his own.
Yeah.
At least this time he'd have to see the headless carcass running around.
That's true.
That was really unpleasant.
I didn't really watch it. I looked away.
Oh, I watched it. So then basically there was a scene where Anjay, Jared, I think Alex were talking.
Yeah.
Jared's just talking about aliens, and Andre's like, do aliens exist or extraterrestrial life exist on Mars? And Andre goes, no. He's like, wrong.
Jared was like, they found fossilized bacteria on Mars. Is that, that's not true, is it?
I have no idea. I'm going to see, did they find...
I think Jared's smarter than us.
Bacteria on Mars in 2007. Because that's when this takes place. There was, but when did this article come out? Oh, in 1984.
All right.
Okay. So that happened. I didn't know about that. Yeah, so I guess he didn't lie to us. He was right. But it looks like Anjay's not a believer in aliens.
I guess not. And at that point, because they kept showing Alex, around doing stuff, and my hypothesis was that Alex was going to win the gold star.
Dude, I didn't even cross my mind. I was thinking it was going to be Hunter just because he's the only one that did anything. They stopped having the town council meeting, so we don't know who's going to get the star.
Yeah.
Which is it's nice because I don't know for sure.
Yeah, but you kind of have an idea.
Yeah, it's the people they show a lot. So they go into the thing to read the book, and the book tells them they have to study books. Luckily, they're smart enough to realize that the information in the books is part of the challenge.
Yep.
These books are, not very big. And they're like, no one's going to want to study these. It's like, you could knock that out in an afternoon.
Yeah. And, I was kind of they've been missing school for 40 days. Like,
I know.
We can take one day and learn something. And they probably should.
I mean, it's insane that they're missing school. Like, why didn't they do this in the summer? I mean, I guess the summer would be too hot in the desert.
Yeah.
But still, this is insane. I just don't understand why their parents were, letting them skip school.
It makes literally no sense.
So then I guess, the next thing I really wrote down, this is not really the next thing that happened, but I jumped a bit, is they're all in, their meetings studying.
Mm-hmm.
And Sophia said something about acting out everything, and I thought that's not a good idea when you get to some... a little older in your history class, Sophia. There's something you don't want to be acting out.
And, of course, Taylor does not want to study.
Yeah.
He's, the only one who's, off by herself. Or she has, one friend with her who's, a brat.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're not going to study. And they say, okay, if you guys aren't going to study, we're actually not giving you the reward this time. This is the final straw.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, fuck you guys.
Yeah, pretty much. And then her friend is like, I'm getting the reward.
Yeah. And Taylor was like, well, the reward's probably going to be books. So I don't even care.
Which is not
fair.
This is fair. Yeah. The reward usually sucks is 8 days. So then, did anything really happen before the challenge? Because I didn't write anything else until the challenge.
So, no, I didn't really write anything else. It was kind of just fighting and little petty stuff. But I did write down that I actually kind of admire Taylor's tenacity to just be I actually don't want to do that.
I know. She said, I can do what I want to do. Don't tell me what I can do. She said that.
She's just a strong woman. I kind of admire it.
At the same time, though, she's just so fucking rude.
I know. But,
so rude. I admire that she's unwilling to... She took a hard stance and decided to be this way and hasn't changed.
Yeah.
So the challenge... This is actually one of my favorite challenges, I think. The challenge was a pop quiz based... on the things they read, and they had to fire slingshots at the answers, but just shoot the two wrong answers and leave only the correct answer. And instead of it being timed, it was based on how much ammo you had left. I thought this was an awesome competition.
Yeah. And it combined a lot of things. It was like, how much do you know? And like skill is shooting the ammo and stuff.
Yeah. And it was actually a tight race for the most part. I also loved how they all had to wear protective eyewear.
I know. So it came out that like the yellow team was not the brightest, but you know, they're all like kids. Like,
yeah.
All the youngest kids. So.
And okay, so Green got upper class and Hunter carried them. I don't know if I could use a slingshot that well.
Yeah, seriously.
Blue were the merchants and they were all really good. Yellow were the cooks. They were pretty good. They just were kind of stupid. And then Red was, they're the indentured servants again. Or I don't know if it's again, but they were really bad. Like they couldn't hit for shit.
No. And they were like using up all of their ammo.
Yeah. They were really, really bad.
Green did well because they were able to shoot well and
they have brains.
And they knew
Hunter carried the team there.
Yeah.
I guarantee they sped it up, so I guarantee that it was a lot uglier than we were led to believe. Because they definitely sped it up at some points.
Yeah, and this is only like the second time that Green has gotten upper class
because they lost like so many in a row. They lost like the first three in a row,
and after that they were just like the cooks or like
anyways
it built their character.
It did. Oh, also just reminder, Taylor doesn't get the deserve because that's not what I meant to say. The deserve Taylor doesn't get the reward because she didn't help, so she doesn't deserve it.
Yes.
And do you want to tell them what the choices are?
Yes. So the choices are either a library.
Fun.
Taylor kind of prophesized. Or an arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And the town council goes away and deliberates. And they're like, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to pick the arcade. Which I was so proud of them for doing. Because they keep picking like the one that they think they should pick.
I know.
It's like, there's 8 days left. No one's going to read books. Like, let's just, like, have fun for a second.
I know. I was so happy they did that because, like, also a free arcade just doesn't happen.
Yeah, all the games were completely free.
Also, they taught Taylor a lesson, which is awesome.
They said, you actually can't come in the arcade. Like, we're not fucking around this time.
Yeah. Well, it's one thing if you're like, you can't read books. It's like, yeah, I don't fucking want to read books. It's like, yeah. I can't have fun with everyone else. That's an actual punishment.
Yeah, so she's not allowed to go in the arcade. And you kind of realize that maybe it's a good thing that they haven't been picking like these awesome rewards because
they can't control themselves,
Because it really like ruined everything.
Oh my god. I know. It was bad.
Complete chaos with this arcade.
All of Green just went right to the arcade except for Sophia. And also Hunter, who did his chores first. Sophia said, quote, I'm a 30-year-old trapped in the body of a 14-year-old.
Yeah. Sophia literally goes to the store, buys all the books, and makes her own little library. And I was like, all right, like, I get it, but, like, just, like, have fun for once.
I know, seriously. She wasn't wrong. The arcade is a terrible idea. All those kids were addicted, like, because like Green is able to go and DK is like, you guys have to fill the tank at least halfway before you can go. And Jared and Mike just like ran there and refused to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zach goes to Taylor and basically is like, hey, tries to reason with her. And it's insane that all he needed to do to get Taylor to do any work was talk to her kind of nicely.
Yeah.
Which is just like, what the heck?
But she also like knew that if she was going to do work, like, she would probably get the reward.
Yeah, I know, because she's smart like that. So she washed pretty much all the dishes on her own, and all I'd say is that sponge was repulsive that she was using.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
It was, like, black. Are they using soap? Is that, like, sanitary?
I hope so. I mean, they have to give them soap.
I hope. It was, like, it wasn't pleasant to look at. Those dishes were disgusting.
So she does her chores, and then the town council's like, okay, like, you can come in the arcade now, which I don't know if they should have done, but like, whatever.
Yeah,
And when she gets in the arcade, everyone's like, yeah, Taylor. And it's like, what? Like,
they probably should have like made her get a few days of good work in before. Because otherwise, otherwise she's going to be a one and done thing, probably.
She's going to go right back to her old way. She's done it every time. But she gets in the arcade and they're playing. But then it kind of just ends up like causing so many problems because, for example, Blaine
is gambling.
Yeah, he's like
instead of cooking breakfast, playing
pool, like gambling while he's supposed to be cooking breakfast. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's a problem. They're all addicted. And then Sophia's doing all the work on her own and she like yells at them.
But I can't blame them. I mean, they haven't been able to have fun in 40 days and they're kids. Like, they're going to want to go to the arcade.
Oh, I know. That's why it's a terrible idea, is because they can't help themselves. It's like instant gratification.
Yeah. And also the weird thing about the arcade though is like there wasn't that many games.
No, there really weren't. It was poker, pool, a race car game, and like two other games, and maybe air hockey.
And like the dance game.
Oh, Dance Dance Revolution, yeah.
Yeah. Which is a great one.
That's a good one. So yeah, it wasn't that much. And I guess the next thing that happens is the town meeting. And they forgot to ask if anyone wants to leave this week.
Oh, I'm sure they asked, but like they just
On TV. I don't know. That's the first time they skipped that. Basically, they asked if they like the thing, and then everyone is really happy with the prize except for Sophia and DK. And then they elected Sophia to be the sheriff, who gets to decide who gets to go in and when they've done enough work.
Yeah. So they're padlocking the arcade until all of the jobs are done and Sophia has to enforce it.
Which I think is right up her alley.
And it's going to be hell. Like, that is never in a million years going to work.
I know. It's going to be exciting next week. They've just made everything so hectic the past few episodes.
I'm just wondering, like, how do they end the show? I feel like on similar shows, there's like, you know, people are getting voted off and like someone wins or like, but there's no like end goal. It's just like, can they survive?
Yeah, it's like Lord of the Flies. Can they survive on their own?
So maybe like their parents will come or something, but
I'm interested to see. And then we have to do, I guess after that, we got to do the where are they now thing.
Yes, we do. Hunter wins the gold star, which whatever.
I think he deserved it, though. He had a nice little speech about how his family needed it, his dad lost his job, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That was nice. And yeah, that sort of ended the episode.
Well, there's one more thing.
What happened? What I missed? What I miss?
Did you turn it off after that?
No, I don't think I did.
Jared breaks into the arcade after they padlock.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
So the arcade is locked, and then Jared is like, it's not locked, but they hadn't locked it yet. And he's like, I'm just going to sneak in. So he's like in there, like playing Dance Dance Revolution by himself and just like hanging out. And then he just leaves and like nothing ever happened.
They should make a Kid Nation for like people our age in their 20 something nation.
Yeah.
I think that'd actually be more of a disaster than Kid Nation, though.
Well, I feel like it would be a disaster because people would be, like, hooking. It would just turn into, like, Big Brother. Like, people would be, like, hooking up and, like, there would have to be alcohol involved.
Yeah. No, because, like, here's the thing is, I think 9 to 5 or until dinner's done, I feel like all that work's going to get done effectively because we're mature enough. Yeah. But I think after that is when the shenanigans happen.
But there would be a lot of, like, there'd be just drama.
It'd have to be drama, which
and like,
yeah, which I don't think would be as entertaining to talk about because it's really funny when you say these things and you realize these kids are like 14.
Yeah,
but if like adults were doing it, they'd be kind of pathetic.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
some of these kids are like really smart and like,
I know,
I'm actually impressed.
Oh, I know. I mean, I think it's a good show. I'm glad that we're doing this. I actually like Kid Nation. Sometimes it fell flat, but sometimes it's really good.
Yeah, in the middle there is getting a little dry, but it's kicking back up now.
The producers found a way to make this thing even more hectic than I could have imagined.
Exactly.
So I'm really happy about that. Thanks for tuning in, guys. This was fun. You can find us on social media at podcast_misfits for Twitter and Instagram. Sign up for our newsletter, please. On our website at misfitsandmysteries.com. You can also buy our merch on our website. Our newsletter comes out once a month. You don't want to miss the February edition. Go sign up now.
And we also have a blog on our website that you guys should check out.
Please also, if you like our show, get on iTunes, rate and review us. It really helps us with the charts, makes us more visible.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky, Misfits.
All right. Bye.